Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello. Anybody there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can, yes. Who am I speaking to, the instructor?
No, no.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm one of the students. I'm Kelly Seipel.
Oh, I'm Rosemary Smith.
Nice to meet you, Rosemary.
Nice to meet you, Kelly. I guess he'll be on here shortly. I haven't done a teleconference in a while. I'm used to doing the webinars.
Ah. What's the last webinar you took?
It's been a little bit, so I can't remember what it was. I've tried to take a lot of them. The webinar, you know, everything's done online.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, I just finished the coach certification.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I haven't been taking the coach's certification. I've just been seeing some of the offerings they have and going from there. And I saw this, thing on writing a book, and so I thought that's right up my alley. So,
have you written a book?
No, I'm putting together in my head and on paper a book. How about you?
No, I haven't. I want to, because I want to have I've got a couple ideas, probably like you, in my mind, mm-hmm. of things I want to write. Now, my wife is an author, so.
Well, that's nice. She can probably give you some really good feedback, huh?
Yeah. So I thought, well, with this course and I want to do some public speaking and some other things, you need to really have a book out there. And of course, with a lot of the stuff that I've learned, some of the stuff I haven't seen in print, so I'm going to put it out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How did you like the coach's certification courses?
I was fortunate. Our facilitator was Cora Belston, and she was really good.
That's good.
There was 13 of us in the class, and I got to say that the 13 people in the class were awesome.
That's
really
great.
Made it fun for me. Yeah, it was good. Really good course.
Yeah. Now, are there courses, is it all online or is it telehealth like this?
Yeah, it's just on the phone like this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure.
They have a website still, but there's a lot of homework to do, kept us busy, but it was good. I'm glad that I took it. It was worth the money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Well, one of these days I'm going to have to get around to it. So, I've gotten training in telehealth counseling, so that I can work online with people, but it's counseling. It's not coaching. So.
Yeah, but I think coaching can be right up your alley then.
Well, yeah. Yeah, if I can ever get, I've had some idea of some kind of book I wanted to do for a while. I just didn't know what the topic was until here about in October. So just kind of trying to stay focused on that a little bit.
Well, where do you live? Where are you at?
In Colorado. How about you?
I'm in Colorado. I'm in Littleton. What part are you
in? Oh, I'm down in the Springs. Yeah, so... Well, yeah, that makes sense.
For 20 years.
So,
is your background military?
Well, my husband's retired military, and I've been a counselor now for over 30 years, so I guess it's time to do a book.
Yeah, I'm retired military myself, yeah.
Oh, are you? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, been here since 91, so it's been a while. Yeah.
Well, I first got here in 1980, and I was at Fort Carson.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome. This is Dave. I hope you're doing great, and I look forward to our collaboration together. some of you may not have seen, many of you may not have seen the email, since I saw that it went out later than I expected. I wanted to ask you two questions, just to give me an immediate response to two questions. What would you most like to accomplish in this seminar series? And if it were remarkably successful for you, what would you take away in 4 weeks? We're on open mic, so I'll go to lecture mode when we start in a bit for the presentation, but I'm interested in your response. Anybody want to dare venture a response to either or both of those?
Yes, I definitely do. This is Leia in Brooklyn.
Thank you. Go ahead, Leia.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting what I need to actually write a book. And what I'll take away will be the courage and whatever it takes to write a second book or something like that.
Okay. That sounds great. And think about how these are two questions that we ask a client with each session. What do you want to focus on and where would you like to get to? What would you like to
Correct.
Take away? So this begins our collaboration together, and I'll be sure that we have a bit of time to discuss at the beginning of each of the four seminars and at the end with an open discussion in case there are clarifications, questions, that sort of thing. Anyone else want to respond to either or both of those questions?
Sure. This is Rosemary from Colorado.
Okay.
And I'd like to write a book that's beneficial to helping others. So, and then learn the process of how to do it.
Okay. That sounds great. Thank you. I appreciate that. Who else?
Oh, this is Kelly from Colorado. I'm
sorry,
way,
this is who?
Kelly from Colorado.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
I the same way. I want to get the tools and the skills necessary to actually publish a book.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. And think about one of the things that we primarily do as coaches with our clients is that we help them create a strategy that can pursue the success that they want, meaning that we help them each time create a map. And those two questions frame that map. What do you want to focus on? Where do you want to get to? The beauty of a map, like a focus, is all the things you don't pay attention to, but it also creates a map. And a map helps us know where we are, where we're going, and how to measure progress along the way. It can also tell you what's detour and distraction. So the first thing we'll do is to look at you creating a map for your style and your purpose of writing a book. And we'll return to that because the structure that you do, you don't just wait for inspiration. You sit down and you're there, even if inspiration doesn't strike you, because having a goal is nice. But that's just okay because winners and losers have the same goal. If you really want to change, if you really want to accomplish something, you look at the system. And the system here, we're going to talk about four aspects, the art, the craft, the science, and the business of telling and selling your story. So first thing I would say is write about what you most want to learn because you're going to be immersed in the process of reading, doing research. Once you've queued up the possibility on your radar of what you're going to write about, you'll begin to see all kinds of things happening. So here's the other thing I'd like you to do. Take a pen or pencil right now and write down the first thing that you think about when I ask you this question. Write the title of the book that you intend to write or in the process of writing. The title. That's a working draft. No, nothing is going to make it or break it on that. It doesn't have to be elegant, but you've cued your radar to begin to think about things for that title and the specific thing you're going to be writing about. So I think that's really important. Also, I want to mention here, to be sure you've downloaded and printed the outline of each of the four seminars. There is a pretty detailed outline, so you don't need to take a bunch of notes. You can kind of follow it and see if it makes sense and fill in any things you think about. And also that you've downloaded the workbook. That's the exercises and work tools that correspond with each of the four seminars, and I think it will be an additional catalyst to help you and to help you further the process of what you're thinking and writing. So any additional things you want to add at this time? Anybody else want to jump in for either of those two questions? Focus or
I had a question real quick. So is there a workbook beyond this this outline? Because I couldn't find it.
Is there a what now?
A workbook beyond the outline that's on here?
Yes, there's an outline and a workbook.
Okay, because I couldn't find the workbook. It all came up just
okay.
The outline.
Check with if there's some technical stuff, if you find the same thing on maybe a different computer. Check with Bernadette because the picture that you see, the telling and selling your story with the old-time typewriter, that's the cover of the workbook. So it'll
okay,
be
Dave,
I
don't have
I'm sorry?
It either. This is Kelly. I got the outline, but I couldn't find the workbook.
Okay, check with Bernadette, support@coachtrainingalliance.com. And see what you find out.
Okay. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Any other questions? Anything else? Okay. Well, I'm going to put us on lecture mode, and that way you don't have to worry about the background noise, and I'll reserve some time for us at the end to do a discussion. So jot down any questions or clarifications that you have in mind. I see that I am not able to do mute on the server at this time. May I ask each of you to mute *6 so that there's not interference, and then I'll give you a cue when you come off of *6. I'll have it out with Turbo Bridge later. Okay, we're going to talk about the art of writing. So here's the backstory, some of the preparation. It's been said that just about every smart, sensitive person has a desire to write a book because writing is such a natural way for us to learn, to express, to integrate, really often to feel alive and like we're contributing. In fact, more than 80% of adults in America say they want to publish, but just over 1% actually do. And that includes articles, editorials, not just books. So first decide if you have a message or a book. A message may be a blog series or an article or a white paper. A message is a written or spoken communication of an idea or point of view. An article may convey a message. A short series of blog posts can succinctly spread even a complex message. A nonfiction book, which is what we're going to be talking about, builds a case, develops and illustrates a theme. The book needs a story to hold its richness. It carries the reader along. Its course of reason, illustrating the application. The story involves an argument, a point of view, complexity, and depth. And the irony, as Seth Godin, the preeminent marketer in this country, points out, the market demands that you summarize your book in a blog post. So there are enigmas along the way. Traditional advice has been to write about what you know. Now, I think here's were exciting and creative possibility. Write to see what you have to say. Write about what you most want to learn. Many years ago at a conference, when I was still practicing psychoanalysis, I was talking with a buddy who was an excellent clinician. As we discussed the paper just presented, I asked when he, my buddy, was going to write a paper. He said, well, I'm going to wait until I'm sure I have something to say. I knew at that instant that he would never present a paper at that or any other conference or write a conference, because that's not the way you do it. Those of you who are trained or mentored with me know that not knowing anything has never stopped me from talking. So write about what you want to learn, because it's the best way of learning it. We're going to discuss how to write in a systematic, structured way for effective and successful results. And we'll talk about what happens next when you schedule an appointment with yourself to write. We'll discuss the art, the craft, the science, the business of authoring your book. In short, how to tell and sell your story. So let's talk about first commitment. A prerequisite is a commitment plus a game plan. First, make sure your commitment and your game plan match. You know the words of somebody who is not totally committed to something. I'll try, I should, I ought to, I know I need to, I want to. Here are the words of someone committed. I will. That's the framework that begins with what you're going to do. One of the great philosophers of the 20th century said, try not, do or do not, there is no try. And of course that was Yoda in The Empire Strikes Back. Think about the difference between a 99% commitment and a 100% commitment. Here's the Texas version of that. A fish has no use for a lake that has water 99% of the time. USA Today did a study on people who made New Year's resolutions. Not the most erudite scientific body, but interesting results. They found two groups, those who made a New Year's resolution and wrote it down, and those who made one but neglected to write it down. Of those who did not put their goal in writing, 4% kept it. Of those who wrote it down, 44% kept it. Now, here's the neuroscience behind that. When you use the output channel and think about what you do to ask your client at the end of the session, would you summarize in a succinct sentence what the primary thing is you're taking away today? When you put it in an output channel, it completes the circuitry, makes it more complete and more retrievable. Now, here's the simplest study of that. University of Waterloo did a recent study where they had two matched groups of people read the same passage in a book, half read it out loud, half read it silently. They then took a test. The ones who read it out loud did 40% better on the test. So the first two questions a travel agent asks, where do you want to go? When do you want to get there? Write down your commitment to complete your book. It makes a huge difference in follow-through. Program your brain to complete the book by a chosen date. At least have a map for that. Now, how much do you really want to tell and sell your story? Here's an example of commitment. There was an unknown author who had a collection of heartwarming stories that he thought would probably make a good book. He shopped his idea to every publisher he could find. No success, 141 rejections. But he repeatedly was told it wouldn't sell. He decided then to publish it himself, and he began selling it out of the back of his car. It had a really unlikely title, Chicken Soup for the Soul. Now, I personally heard Jack Canfield tell this story, and it's a great book. And he talked about one of the things that really helped was he knew marketing as well. He gifted the jurors at O.J. Simpson's trial with the book, so they were seen to be reading it during their recess. Savvy stuff. At last count, Jack has sold $1.5 billion worth of books. Now, let's look at vision. How do you write a book? Here's a related question. How do you find a yellow Jeep? Here's what I like to do, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. Be sure you're on mute. Everyone, be on mute. I'd like you to close your eyes and relax. I hear someone not on mute. If you'd mute star 6, and I apologize for that because of my connection didn't make that possible. So get in a very comfortable position. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath in for relaxation. Breathe out any tension. With your eyes still closed, picture a yellow Jeep. The specific detail of how it looks. Walk toward that Jeep in your mind. Walk all the way around it. Look at the tires, the body, the trim. From the front, look at the lights and the grill. As you walk around to the driver's door, as you reach out, feel how cool and firm the handle feels. As you open the door, look at the seat and the dash. And as you sit in the seat, feel how firm and fully that seat holds you. As you close the door, hear the sound of it closing. Smell the interior as you grab the wheel and look through the windshield. And imagine you're driving. As you turn it on, hear the sound of the engine. Feel the vibration. Again, take the wheel and imagine you're driving. Now, turn it off. And as you get out, listen how firmly the door sounds when it closes. As you're walking away, turn around one more time and look at that yellow Jeep and take it all in. Now, anytime, open your eyes, but don't come off mute. I was asked by a group of executives who wanted to write a first book to do a workshop with them. This is the first thing I did with them to get them focused when I went to the podium. The first question I asked was, how many of you in the last month have seen a yellow Jeep? There were 26 people in the group. One person raised his hand. I then did this visualization with them and asked them in the next week if anybody happened to see a yellow Jeep, would they contact me, email or leave a voicemail? In the first 3 days, 22 of those people called me to say that they had seen a yellow Jeep. Now, what happened? The number of Jeeps in the greater Houston area didn't suddenly increase, but you programmed your brain for, you programmed your radar to take in the Jeep when you saw it. So this is what a plan and a structure, a system will do. Once you genuinely see yourself writing and completing a book, all sorts of things begin to happen. You've already coded your radar for writing your book, including listening right now. We'll discuss how to evolve that vision. And there's a part of, at the end of the outline, there's a part of, the neuroscience of a vision. It's about how to systematically do a vision and the affirmations that accompany it. So, here's right now an exercise I'd like you to do with me. This is based on the principle that it takes just as much energy to construct a negative belief as it does to construct a positive belief. So do this exercise with me. It's going to sound a little goofy, but do it anyhow. I'd like you, with mute on still, I'd like you to say out loud two things you can't do. For example, I can't finish this article. I can't get the clutter out of my... Say two things that you can't do.
Can't do a website?
Okay, somebody's not on mute. and yours is not mine. So be sure you're on mute, star six. Now, I'd like you to restate that and substitute won't for can't. Instead of I can't finish, I won't finish this article I'm writing. I won't get the clutter. Now, I'm going to pause and let you do that. Now I'd like you to say this sentence out loud three times that I'm about to tell you. Say it out loud three times. I am always free to change my mind. Out loud three times. There have been one or two instances that I have asked a client to repeat that sentence out loud when they feel really stuck or really locked in. I'm always free to change my mind. It's always worked, but I use it very judiciously and sparingly. So now you're aware of choice. All you have to do is the next right thing. So once you begin thinking about your specific book, you begin to hear things in different ways. You begin to hear examples. You begin to hear stories. Think about stories. Incidents become vignettes. You begin to look for what you can read to support your knowledge. You begin to do your own kind of research. Ideas begin to crystallize. You think about what you want to say, and you become aware of how you want to say it. You become an even better listener, which makes you a better speaker, which is all the process of being an author. So a caveat here. Nobody ever sits down to write a book. You sit down, you write a few sentences, maybe a page. Mozart never sat down to write an opera. He had a medley in his head, and he let it speak to him until the story of the music emerged over time. Line by line, note by note. And for us, it's word by word. Let's talk about perseverance now. Perseverance, specifically. The most important thing about a goal is having one. The most important thing about a plan is to stick with it. You don't have to be motivated to write. You know, I work with athletes and actors. The pro athletes are not motivated to go to the gym every day, especially in off-season. Actors are not. But they do it anyhow because they have a plan and to stick to it. So as soon as you hear your client say, well, you know, I just need to get motivated to do it, you look at the system. That's a nice goal, but it's an unnecessary and limiting precondition. The presupposition that you need to be motivated to write can be very limiting because you don't need to be motivated. You sit down. If something comes, you're there to capture it. We'll talk about how to get in state to maximize that possibility. The most important thing about a goal is having one. The most important thing about a plan is to stick to it. Sometimes it requires redundancy, like me just then. Wisdom is to know the right path, and integrity is to take it. Now, a clearly defined goal can focus your imagination and inspire passion, can cut through the fog like a beacon in the night. One extra degree of effort in business and in life separates the good from the great. 51 publishers turned down Richard Bach's Jonathan Livingston Seagull. He took it to number 52. The beauty of a focus, the beauty of a map, is all this stuff you don't have to pay attention to. To get what you've never had, you'll probably have to do what you've never done. Lord Eliot put it very simply. Perseverance is not a long race. It's many short races, one after another. So, here are some guiding questions. Three goals to clarify as you start writing. What do you want to write? What do you want to gain? And who do you want to reach? It's good to have an orientation. Here are some reflections to begin your first book before you begin your first chapter even. Write for a specified preferred audience. You may want everybody to read it. You may be writing for everybody because they need your benefits. That you're going to remember how in the beginning you wanted to coach everyone about anything, and it felt like an amputation to narrow it down to a niche until it paid off. Envision your audience. Create a persona for the two or three prototypes of those who you're going to write for, and start talking directly to them. I'll tell you more about me than you ever wanted to know, but it's only because I know the illustrations quite well. Everything I will talk about what your primary style is. I'm more auditory, you would have never guessed. So everything I write, I talk. And I'm always talking to someone. Sometimes it's you guys. Sometimes it's a client. Sometimes it's a group of people. Sometimes it's people I'm coaching or training. And I happen to capture it on an audio cassette, a digital dictation device. And then I upload it to transcribe for a penny and a quarter a word, and I have pages of manuscript. Everything I've written, from a blog to a white paper to even complex emails, like the one I sent you guys, I would call that complex. That's more than three lines. I dictate because I do better that way. I don't have to remember where J is on the keyboard. We'll come back to that and There are various ways to optimize your particular style, your biorhythms, the things at the time of the day you're more creative. Three, write a focused, compelling, understandable, and enjoyable conversation. Go to any nonfiction book on Amazon that, you know, sells under a million sales. And this is what you'll find in the first. Go to the first chapter. Every one of them will have a story that begins as chapter one. That's how you engage someone, telling a story. So, four, what is your aha, your good news? What do you want to convey to somebody? Five, what will your book do uniquely well? And again, from the Bible of authors, the art of writing, William Zinsser, there are four qualities of good writing and good speaking: clarity, brevity, simplicity, and humanity. We'll talk about how neuroscience supports that in a bit. So you may want to reach out for opinion molders and feedback like focus groups. You may want to do all kinds of research by related books and topics that you get. And seven, an initial step to create your book is to fully accept the reality of the process of writing to evolve your identity as an author. Here's a personal experience that was pivotal for me. I was writing at the first, back when I was practicing psychiatry and psychoanalysis, the first books I did were professional books. This was a departure. It was my reflections on parenting. It was called Making Memories, Reflections on Parenting from the Heart of a Father and the Mind of a Psychoanalyst. And I didn't really know how to write, you know, a personal book like this, because everything I'd done, papers and books, were professional. So I went to the Iowa Summer Writers Workshop, because that was the one that most of the authors who I respected who did this sort of thing went to at the time. And I shared with my group my dilemma. I was still practicing analysis. I wanted to write from the heart. I needed to use examples from my experiences as a parent, but I didn't want to burden my present and future psychoanalytic patients with knowing too much about me. Now, at the time, remember the context here, psychoanalysts thought they had to remain anonymous to be a blank screen onto which the patient projects himself or herself. So this was really, you know, far from the fold. I got some immediate, immensely helpful feedback from the group and from the reasonably well-known author who was doing our workshop for those days. When you're writing, you're not an analyst. You're not a father. You're an author. So write as your subtitle says, from your heart and your mind. Immensely helpful. It was kind of freeing, actually. Eight, your thinking and feeling a book into existence. Then you'll craft it into a powerful message with a memorable story. 9. What you imagine guides what you do. You learn what your book is about by thinking and writing it. And 10, you get your book done well by willing yourself to plan, organize, think, revise, and tolerate confusion and uncertainty. The principle here is do whatever it takes. So think about what you want to do. And let's talk a little bit about the who, what, where, when, and how of writing. Who is it you write for? Your most authentic answer is yourself. When you speak in writing, you do so to an intended audience. Who's your audience? Who are you going to be speaking or writing or talking to? If you can, identify specifically the audience that you'll address. That allows you to talk directly, specifically to them. The more specifically you can envision the reader, the more specifically and meaningfully you'll be able to talk to them in writing. John Updike, when he was asked, who do you write for? He said, well, I write to the person a little to the left and below the center of Kansas. And he wasn't being goofy when he said that. It's exactly what he had in mind, even though he was a recognized New York City author who wrote, but he wrote for that group, and people in New York happened to love it, as those of you know who follow Updike. One strategy is to envision a persona. It's a characterization of the ideal reader if you don't have somebody specifically in mind. People who write novels do this. They have a persona of each of the characters. They know where that character, what color eyes they have, where they, what they made in algebra in the 10th grade. They know a whole bunch of stuff, just the whole profile of that person. They may not show much of it, but it informs the conversations. It informs what they do, the processes, the mental and the physical engagement that people have. So develop a persona fully of who your audience or who your all in your audience may be. Location, age, occupation. For me, a bunch of what I write now and the transition I made a number of years ago was I write a lot for you guys, for coaches, for other people who are curious and wanting to learn and perform better, you know, do various things in a new and different way. By the time you develop 2 to 3 ideal personas of an intended audience, you have an idea of who you're going to be talking to. Your conversation comes alive as you talk to them. You're not talking in generalizations. You're not talking vaguely, abstractly. You're talking each sentence with clarity, brevity, simplicity, and humanity. Make it easy to connect. Create a conversation. Create a community. The what? You got to respect the marketplace. Be attuned to needs to provide answers with your book. Make your approaches to answers accessible. Be attuned to what your audience wants and needs. Beyond that, you have to be true to your own story. Who you are is your gift to your readers. It's not about you, but you come through all of it. Writing is not a special language. It's not a gift you were born with. Writing is thinking on paper. Anyone who thinks clearly should be able to write clearly. And it's work. It involves editing. We'll come back to that. Here's a what exercise to think before you write. Sit down and think about your idea before you begin to write about it. How are you going to move it from a vague idea to a rich three-dimensional book? Think about along these lines. What are you trying to communicate? Again, specifically, what form should your book take? What chapters should it be divided into? And as you develop that, what should go into each chapter? We're going to talk about the book outline and how that's a vital part of the foundation, the blueprint of your book. We'll come back to that in the craft of writing. What will you draw from your experiences to enhance your book? And what kind of research will you do to deepen its quality? Now, you're not in the business of finding readers for your words. You're in the business of finding words for your readers. This is the process that writers don't usually report, and you don't usually see. The thinking part, the preparation. A writer, if you've seen probably a number in interviews, they say, well, their book just comes out or it just came to them. It does not happen in that way. Writing is creative pleasure, but it's work. And the real work, the harder thing than writing, is rewriting, editing. And we're going to return to that. And I have some examples from some buddies who write about that. The where. Decide where you'll write. This is important. It's more important than you may have thought about. I don't know. You may have thought about it already. Virginia Woolf emphasized the importance of having a room of one's own. Get your space ready. Protect it from intrusions and noise. Put one or two things in there maybe that will represent your commitment to writing. During the time that you commit to write, protect that space and time from intrusions. Unplug your telephone. Don't have your phone or your computer ping and let you know, hey, I got something for you. There are a few true emergencies in life. Talking to your buddy about what happened in the episode of the second season of Your Honor last night is not one of them, even if you're a New Orleans fan. Guard your writing time to allow full immersion. Protect your time, because you'll have to pay for every yes with at least one no. When? Make an appointment with yourself. Choose a schedule for writing that you will commit to, that you'll be loyal to no matter what. Everyone on earth has one thing in common. Our choices in life define us. Those who provide service to others, such as authors, money managers, therapists, leaders, teachers, coaches, especially parents, have their answers counted many times. What will yours be? Make it matter. Determine when you'll write. When I had a full psychoanalytic practice and saw a dozen people each day plus teaching, people would ask me when I found time to write. And my answer was to say as gently as possible that I never found time to write. I created time. I grew up on a farm and ranch and got up before the sun to feed cattle. Rising early is still natural for me. During all of my years of parenting, I still got up early on Saturday and Sunday mornings, so I had 2 to 3 hours to write before both of my kids woke up. By then, I was fully ready to set aside my dictaphone and whatever I was reading and roll on the floor with them and play the rest of the day. Again, later, during their adolescence, I would be totally available in order for them to ignore me and be rendered insignificant, which also is called writing time. Decide what time of the day you write best. Know your biorhythms. Think about when you're most creative. Consider what may be a natural time to write, when you have the most inclination to do then things like editing. For in the old days, when I traveled before COVID, editing naturally was at an airport and on an airplane, as well as other times. Creative time you need to protect, and no intrusion, no other stuff. It's a different part of your brain, and it's a different state of mind. We'll come back to that in just a bit. So here's my best piece of advice to you. Just start writing. Start simple. Start slow. Start now. And create a map for your writing. Perhaps the most literate answer to the when question was offered over 900 years ago by Rashi, the great Torah commentator. He said, whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Let's look at the how now. Recognize your natural style of writing. Are you visual, auditory, or kinesthetic? Do you learn best in one of those? Do you create best? We're going to extend the question to one of those. Respect that style as you write. Some of you do it best visually at a keyboard, seeing the words appear on the screen. If you're an auditory person, use a dictation device. Get somebody else to type it for a penny and a quarter a word. If you do your alignment of your creative process with how you write, it will simply flow better. If you're more kinesthetic, you may love to write everything out by hand. My favorite, just recently no longer living, novelist, Pat Conroy, wrote every book on a yellow tablet and then transcribed it there. That was before I could have helped him produce even more. That was before digital dictation devices. Consider also your work and performance styles. Those elements aren't talked about as much, but I think they're useful in writing as well as in coaching. You can find a paper on this by one of my favorite authors. It's on the Mentor Path website. It's under the Articles tab. It's the first article. It's called Toward Brain Hardware Optimization. Under the Articles tab on MentorPath, MentorPath.com. So, one suggestion, whenever you have an idea and it doesn't come during your specified writing time, write it down. Capture it. Get it at some point into typed form. Research on memory tells us that a new idea or fact lasts an average of 40 seconds in short-term memory unless you write it down to review. After that, it's gone. That's what little moleskin deals are for, to put in the pocket of your cargo pants so you'll always have something, along with a pen or pencil, so you'll always have something accessible to write on. Don't ever be caught without something you can write on beside your palm. If you're a reasonably clean person, it's gone soon enough. Haven't you had the experience of thinking of a great phrase, a really catchy way to say something and think, man, I know I'll remember this, and I remember this later, and later comes, and you don't have it. So one principle we know from coaching, when people are asked what they intend to do, they're more likely to act according to how they answer, because it becomes then not only their output channel, but if they commit to it, even if writing, it becomes an identity or alongside their identity. They don't want to let themselves down. When you ask people the day before an election if they intend to vote, it increases the probability of those voting by 25% when they say yes. In a study of 40,000 subjects, the question, do you intend to buy a new car? Being asked that question increased purchase rates 35%. Another factor that increases the likelihood of desirable behavior is asking people whether they intend to eat certain foods or diet or exercise. I'm not recommending this as a coach, but just telling you a principle here. One of the basic steps in coaching now is to begin each session to frame what the focus is and then to look at the action plan to end the session with what their commitment is of what they'll do within a time period, or SMART goals wouldn't have a T, usually before the next session. So, your commitment to yourself. write down for your book your who, what, where, when, and how. Specifically address your intention and plan. Underline plan, because intention is great, but it's not a plan. It's not a system. Make an appointment with yourself and keep it with the same loyalty that you do an appointment with your doctor, dentist, or accountant. And specify the specific time and the days of the week that you're going to do that. Writing doesn't come through inspiration. It happens when you decide to sit down and write. Clarissa Pinkola Estes said, "To be ourselves causes us to be exiled by many others, and yet to comply with what others want causes us to be exiled from ourselves." Now, a note about creativity, and this is a return to an earlier notion. There's a natural, innate energy inside each of us to create. When we open ourselves to creativity, we allow our internal experience to flow through whatever channels are more natural to us. Words, pictures, movement. Creativity is a natural part of life. So as you begin the process of your book, don't compare your inside with somebody else's outside. Somebody else's outside may be a complete book, and when you pick the book, when you pick up the book to read it, it's going to seem daunting. The author didn't begin with that complete book. He or she began with an idea and then crafted a few lines each day and then reworked it again and again. A great deal of thinking and a great deal of reading are required to write a book. Writers, in discussing their books after they're published, they omit or minimize the amount of work. We can call it a nostalgia bias. Nostalgia is remembering not as it was, but as better than it was. Airbrushed memories set on an idealized stage. That's from the book of a book of basically compiled white papers that I wrote for coaches called Engaging the Ineffable. There's 21 chapters. Nostalgia is one of them. When we compare, I'm emphasizing that for the idea of repurposing. So keep that in mind. When we compare our inside, our hope for a book, with somebody else's outside, a completed published book, that's not apples to apples. Don't take those two as equivalent in any way. You began with where you are and one step at a time. Nobody ever sits down to write a book. You sit down to write a few sentences. You sit down for an hour at your desk and stay there at the time you've decided to commit to writing, just in case some random string of words occurs to you or some expression that you create or need to capture occurs. Some writers set a quota for the day. 250 is words is a one full double space page. So here are 10 caveats for writers that I want to share with you. The most important thing about a plan is having one. The second most important thing about a plan is sticking to it. 2, write every day. It will help you think like a writer. I'm not talking about hours, maybe not even a full hour. 3, read every day. It will help you think like a writer communicating to a reader. 4, write in a voice that sounds like you. Writing is not a contest. Writing is a transaction between two people, you and the reader. So sound like yourself and be yourself. If you don't say indeed, then don't write it. If you don't say one would think, then don't write it. And I'll give you some examples of voice in a bit. We may or may not have time today, but that's important. I want to develop that really more in next seminar in the craft of writing. Use language simply and warmly. You'll be able to make any subject clear by reducing it to good English. A clear, simple sentence is no accident. 6, how you write will be how you're perceived. Your writing, in fact, may be your only way to introduce yourself to someone whose business, trust, affection, or money is what you want. Perhaps your introduction to new clients. 7, this is so important. Keep the burden of clarity yourself. Writing is about creating meaning. Rewriting is about crafting meaning to make it optimally useful and accessible for the reader. Plan from the beginning to keep the burden of clarity of communication yourself. Don't shift it to the reader or listener. You maintain the ownership of responsibility to your reader. Here's what we know from neuroscience. We attend to and retain up to 10 words at a time. After that, our attention and retention begins to tail off. So, when you're asking a client a question, stop at 10 words. Make your question into 10 words and then stop and wait for the answer. When you're writing, this is part of the application of clarity, brevity, simplicity. That way, you're keeping that burden yourself. And that's part of your humanity, is doing that in a way that connects. 8, have the end in mind from the beginning. In the film The Lookout, Lewis, a blind man, helps his mentally challenged roommate make sense of things by thinking of his day as a story. Lewis said, start at the end. Can't tell a story if you don't know where it's going. 9, take some positive action toward your goal every day, even if it's just one. At the end of the month, you'll have 30 completed actions. If you write 2 paragraphs a day, at the end of the month, you'll have 60 paragraphs. And here's a West Texas literary term for that. That's a bunch. 10, decide what you want. Believe it's possible. A belief is our filter between reality and our perception. A belief is the software that programs what we do, what we focus on, and what we do. A belief is the mind's command to the brain, the software program that determines our behavior. We now know that beliefs can actually turn genes on or off. So highlight this equation in the outline. Beliefs drive behavior. Behavior drives performance. You know this from working with clients. Apply it now to you as an author and your writing endeavor and the system of your writing. You can change your life by changing your beliefs. Our possibilities are only limited to the ones that we allow ourselves to see. So, here's a final story. A destitute young housewife had almost no money. Her book idea, though, came to her when she was on a train, but she didn't have a pen. She did not have that moleskin in her cargo pants pockets with a pen. She was too shy to ask for a pen, so she forgot some of the initial parts of her story. She couldn't afford a babysitter or a computer, but she had a story to tell, and she was determined to do it. She decided to write. When she first thought of what she wanted to write, she decided that she needed to do it by going to a coffee shop, because that was the only place she had. As soon as she started writing, her mother died at age 45 from multiple sclerosis. Her marriage to an abusive husband ended in divorce. Shortly after that, or actually during it, she had a miscarriage. After that, she got fired from a job and lived on government welfare. But she took her then baby to that coffee shop in the middle of the afternoon every day and wrote on a legal pad while her baby napped. She did it every day for 4 years. And then after significant work, she finally found a publisher for Harry Potter. And her last book sold 11, her last Harry Potter book, sold 11 million copies in the first hour, the record in all of history. She became the first billionaire author. So here's an exercise as we close. I'd like you to just write this down and then come back to it at a time when you can get really focused. I'd like you to, in the next 24 hours, sketch two things. One, the cover of your book. Draw a rectangle. Title, subtitle, your name. Two, another sketch, let's say. A sketch of that book on a shelf at a bricks and mortar store or on a page at Amazon or on the table at the back of the room where you present. Put that book in a context of what you're familiar with and where you most want to see it. Amazon, bookstore, lecture. Okay, that's all I got for today. We're not done, but let's look at any discussion, questions, clarifications. If you would come off of mute, *6, if you have a comment or question or clarification. And thank you for managing the mute. I'll be sure with TurboBridge that we don't have to do this again. So thank you. And what do you have? Questions, thoughts, clarifications?
Okay. Rosemary, I have a question.
Okay.
Is that support thing, is it in that email we got so we know how to get the book, the workbook? Hello?
Yeah, I'm trying. You're talking about the email support@coachtrainingalliance.com. That's Bernadette, and that's for any technical questions about the outline or the workbook. And she'll let me know if there's any problem or issue with that. Now, here's something also I want to recommend, and this is what I'd recommend you do with this series, but also see if it works for you, because I think it can be beneficial for whatever you're doing, learning, or are creating. It's to write a single sentence at the end of a class, a presentation, right now. What's the most important thing that you're taking away for you from this discussion? Would any of you like to share what you're taking away? This is the circuitry in your brain to put it in an output channel and to personalize it at the same time. What's the most important thing you're taking away? Anyone, just in a single sentence.
Say
your name and then your comment.
Oh, okay. Rosemary Smith, and I would say the most important thing is that number 10, believe in your ability to write,
okay,
move toward behavior and performance.
Okay, thank you. All right, great. Who else?
Leia.
Yeah,
from
please.
New York, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I'm taking away that something that I thought was formidable a little bit. The system of steps, break it down, which sounds so much better and doable.
Okay, may I coach you for a moment?
Sure.
Practice saying it in 10 to 12 words or less. Clear, brief, specific, and simple. Go.
I'm taking away a system that will help me do my writing.
Terrific. And that's the best I can hope for, is to really look at creating your own system, but to make it a system. That's what creates change for every one of your clients, to have a system, a map, because that lets you know where you are and where you're going for the day and for the whole engagement as well. Who else? We still have go ahead.
Karen.
Yeah, please.
I'm taking away to do something every day, just a couple of sentences or whatever, but just every day and having that 30 days.
Okay. Terrific. That's great. I'm going to respect the time, and we're out of time, but is there one more takeaway that someone would like to add? I don't want to omit that if you have something ready.
This is Kip.
Hey, Kip, how are you? Go ahead. I knew you were lurking back there, my man. Go ahead.
You cannot fail with detail. So imagining the detail of the audience.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Okay. Thank you all. And if you have responses that we didn't get a chance to look at, and that will include everybody else who didn't talk, if you'd like to answer that question, what would you most like to get from this seminar series? And if you walked away 4 weeks from now saying it's one of the best ever, what would you walk away with? And thank you for all of your participation and energy. I look forward to picking up with you right here next time to look at the craft, some of the how-to stuff about writing. So thanks very much. Take good care of yourselves. See you next week. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Bye.